Hey, I'm Elena.
And I'm Sophie.
And you're listening to
Urban Legends
told by Urban Idiots. So what's up?
We have an apology to issue.
Yes, we do. A major one.
It's a theme. It's a theme.
It is. It's a trend. It kind of seems like this trend happens when it's the end of the semester for us, for our college.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. It's a, what do we call that? A hiatus?
We call it a nice hiatus. We were doing okay. I mean, it wasn't like a set amount of time. It was like a week and then 2 weeks. But like, I was like, go us. Look at us recording.
Yeah, we were really rolling, making a name for us, and here we are.
Yeah. Got ahead of ourselves, and we're back where we started.
That's right.
So
what state are we doing today, Sophie?
Missouri.
Can't wait.
Yes. I struggled a lot finding Urban Legends. Yeah, I don't know if you
me
did.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Some of them were just creepy stories and not necessarily had a legend attached to them. So that kind of made it hard.
Like creepy stories too. And I was like, I was almost to the point where I was like, maybe I'll just grab a couple creepy stories and throw them in there. Because like, they tend to be like super short. And I'm like, I don't want to just be like, this woman died.
And then that was
okay,
it.
Elena, what's your story?
Like, yeah, go it's on. Like, okay. Exactly. This is what I'll bring to the table.
two sentences and I'm done.
Exactly.
But I found some good ones.
Yeah, same here. I actually kind of learned from my my second one I'm going to tell.
Education.
I learned from something. And I was like, wait, I didn't know that happened. So I hope you guys are intrigued to keep
I
on listening.
I hope it's something that like everyone else knows.
And I really hope so too.
And everyone's like, Elena, you didn't know about the Civil War?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're going to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start us off. This one's kind of a biggie. But
we're here for it.
She's worth it. So, it's the legend of Zombie Road.
Ooh.
So, it's located in or near St. Louis.
Yes.
Yes. I had to ask Elena before this how to pronounce St. Louis, if it was St. Louis or St. Louis, because I didn't want to get yelled at. And
see, now, I could be wrong too, but when I went to Missouri and we went to the Ark and all that, everyone said St. Louis.
Okay.
So, but if it is St. Louis, don't kill us, please.
Yeah. Please
just
don't.
Politely educate us.
Yeah, I'll probably cry, but it'll be worth it.
Exactly.
Anyway, the real name of this road is Lawyer Ford Road. Lawyer? I don't know. It's L-A-W-L-E-R.
Okay, Lawler.
Lawler. That's the one. That sounds right. Lawyer. Who am I? It's about 2 miles long, and it's not so much of a road anymore as it is a... I'm sorry, I thought I saw a drone, but it was a squirrel. I was like, what is
this? Do you hear
this?
That sound right now?
What is that?
Is that a vacuum? Oh, a vacuum, yeah.
Is it?
Or
Wait, let's stop it. Alright guys, we're back. Yes, we're leaving that in, because we are unprofessional, and it was honestly kind of funny.
It was pretty funny and entertaining. Know? The fact that I thought there was a drone, but it was a squirrel.
And then a leaf blower also. I mean, I think it adds personality, you know.
It really does. A touch of flair.
This is real life. You are not just listening to two robots. This is the real world. Yeah.
They might sound like robots.
But actually, there's leaf blowers here.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right, Sophie, do you want to segue into what you were saying?
Yeah, I'll just jump right in. So, Zombie Road was used as a trail for Native Americans and is located by a powerful river where a ferry used to run and has a railroad that runs along it. So, it's super... Mm-hmm. There's had a lot of activity there throughout the years. There's also been gravel plants along there and resort communities.
Ooh, interesting.
These are all kind of abandoned now and kind of run down, you know.
Spooky.
Creepy vibes, you know.
Yeah, spooky up in there.
So, a lot of this... activity, since there's so much going on in this area, there's a lot of urban legends just in road alone.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's
has a name for itself.
Yeah, it has a name,
for itself. Yeah.
I do want to warn everyone that some of these legends involve like suicide. One of them's really sad and like gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
And like literally I was like sick to my stomach because like that's awful to think about.
Ew, okay.
Yeah. So a warning, you might want to skip past mine. Because about halfway through it takes a turn and it's kind of like really sad. But I don't know if it's urban legends, you don't know if all of it's true or not.
Yeah. Before you like say that.
I just want to warn you guys, this one's a little gruesome.
Before you say like the gruesome stuff, maybe just say like trigger warning right here.
Okay.
And then that way they know to skip. So they can kinda listen until it gets
Okay, I'll do that, guys. Okay. So The name Zombie Road itself has a few legends behind it. Some say the road's name was from the former railroad workers who used to work there, but now rise from their graves, either spiritually or actually physically, I'm not sure, and wander the woods. Others say the name came from an escaped mental facility patient nicknamed Zombie. Zombie. I know. How nice. Like, hey, you're really struggling with your mental health, you know, we're going to nickname you Zombie. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. He, or she, I guess it doesn't say, fled into the woods, and then their hospital gown was later found soaked in blood and lying on the road.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then there's also some who say that there was a zombie killer, or zombie killer. That was the name of the murderer.
Oh, okay.
Was Zombie Killer, and he would kill young couples in the area. But that's not been confirmed at all.
Okay, that's scary.
Yeah. Like, so just cute little
Going, like, as a young couple, strolling down the road, you know, catching some breeze.
Yeah, you know.
Hearing some birds chirping, and then chop! Like,
Oh, beautiful. I mean, at least you had nice final moments, you know?
That is true. Have you seen a picture of it? Is the scenery nice around it?
It's very wooded. It looks more like a trail. There's a trail there now. You can't go down it at night. Like, literally, police have fined people and arrested people, so.
Wow. Okay, do you touch on that later?
What do you mean?
How police is and all that.
Not really.
No, okay, there are also questions. I didn't want to spoil it.
No, go ahead. Yeah, ask questions.
Do they do that because of what happened and what you're about to tell us?
It's because I read a police statement and this guy was like, yeah, the problem is like we have like 2 13-year-olds going out into these woods late at night, and then you'll have like this group of like 40-year-old men following behind them, and
Oh my god.
He's like, it's just not a good situation.
It's not a crime.
No, I don't think there's any I don't think it's a lot of crime. It's just, like, you don't want to put people in a situation where there might be a crime.
That makes sense. Okay. It's kind of, like, not hazardous, but,
Yeah, it's
insert a word there.
Yeah. That's great. It's, like, the setup to a tragedy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Prevent a tragedy. Yeah. Okay.
You know, secluded area, heavily wooded, no lights.
Oh, yes.
Like, you don't even want to know what can happen back there.
Oh, that's a setup for a horror movie.
So they're just more, precautions. Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, regardless of how the road got its name, it's clear that this road holds a very storied past. For instance, a wife of a local judge, her name, Della Hamilton McCullough, lost her life after being struck by the train that runs nearby.
Oh my, I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, her apparition is said to roam the woods. People have seen her a lot. There's another tale tells the story of a man who lost his wife in a game of poker, and then went back to his home to kill himself. His ghost is also seen wandering aimlessly and is, like, crying.
Oh, that's, like, really sad. Yeah. Still crying.
But also, why would you bet your wife in a game of poker? Who's like, I love my wife, but, you know, the cards are looking good tonight. Lady Luck's on my side. Yes. I'm putting in my wife. I'm all in. Like,
all in. And then she's like, no. And you're like, all in.
No. Oh, my God. Husband of the year.
Yeah.
She's
somebody
like,
print the award.
I know. Someone get it to his house. He needs it.
Yeah.
Or his grave.
Yeah. Put the plaque up.
His poor wife was literally watching this happen and was like, I'm literally going to be given to someone else. This is happening.
What's his name? Does he have a name?
I don't think he has a name.
Okay, let's call him, insert a name.
Randy.
She goes, Randy, not again.
Randy. My God. So that character's out there. During the Prohibition Age, a nearby town was said to have housed speakeasies and summer homes for, gangsters. So that's cute. Okay. But, it's said that many who've lost their lives to those gangsters, are buried bordering the river.
Okay.
That's by Zombie Road. So.
Zombie Road.
Got some restless souls there.
Yeah.
The river itself has supposedly taken lots of lives throughout the years, even some somewhat recently, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's a pretty, like, strong river from what I've heard, I've read.
Yeah.
So, the train which follows this river has caused a lot of harm, too. Not only for that woman in the beginning, Della, but also in the 1970s, two teens were struck by an oncoming train.
Oh my God.
And this is disturbing. Warning. I didn't put this in my writing, but it did say on there, it was like, yeah, they had to have a search team come out and look for all their body parts.
Oh my god, I could only, like, imagine that. That's disgusting.
I know. Yeah. Oh, okay. And then, in the 90s, a mother and her 5-year-old son were crossing the, like, you know, there's, like, the bridges that trains go across?
Yeah.
They were walking across there. When they got, like, halfway or something, the train turned the corner and was, like, coming at them. And so the mom pushed her, was able to push her son into the river below and he survived.
Yeah.
But she did not. So I was like, that's awful having to just be in that situation. You're like literally shoving your son off this bridge and hoping for the best. Like,
yeah, and the last memory you have of your mom too. Was like her saving your life.
Oh, awful.
Ew. I couldn't even. That's gross.
This is also disturbing area, these next two parts. So skip ahead if you don't like this. Suicides and like a really awful accident. So, in the 1960s, a couple in their late teens were standing on a bluff overlooking the road when the man lost his footing and fell. And they said, oh, this is, like, the one that gave me chills.
Mm-hmm.
He got his head stuck between, like, the bow of a tree. I think that's the word bow. Oh, okay. The fork of a tree.
Okay.
And they said that his body fell through and his face and scalp stayed behind.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, like, literally was scalped by this tree.
Ugh.
Isn't that awful? I know. Yeah. I literally am sick to my stomach. Okay. Next.
Next.
And then.
Next tragedy.
I know. Next tragedy, please. In the 1970s, a hunter came across a car that was near the woods there, or mm-hmm. near the road, I should say. It was still running, and it had a hose running from the exhaust pipe to the car, and, you know, found mm-hmm. the driver in there. Slumped over the wheel, which that one's also very disturbing to me. So, yeah, lots of tragedy in this along this road.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah.
Reminds me of kind of like, but those aren't all suicides, but it reminds me of like the suicide forest in like Japan. Kind
yeah.
of, like, a lot of tragedy. A
lot of tragedy.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people claim that there's lots of like occult rituals that take place in the woods.
I mean, there might as well be. If there's tragedy, you might
as well throw in a cult, you know.
Throw up a sign that says meeting on Tuesday.
I know. It checks out.
It does.
So they're like, they're kind of like, who knows if there's any portals open in there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cute, you know.
That's a whole moment.
So with all these tragedies and the possible portals, there's a lot of stuff that has been said to go on. There's lots of apparitions people see just kind of wandering in the woods. Mm-hmm. Those ones never seem quite as aggressive as other things mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about. There's disembodied voices and music, cries. A lot of people feel unseen touches mm-hmm. and pushing.
Your usual haunt.
You know, the usual haunt.
the usual haunt.
they're moving lights, you know, and this is like, area is infamous for shadow people,
mm-hmm.
which creep me out more than ghosts for some reason. The shadow idea of there people. Being a shadow person and there's no person there, like, that terrifies me. Because
then it makes you wonder, like, can they hurt me? Because it's just a shadow. But, like, it has a mind.
Who knows?
A shadow mind.
But, like, they're known to follow people down the trail and, like, you'll hear, like, a twig snap or something, you turn around.
Or you said like, that, and I just heard, like, a twig snap. Like, you know how you can, like, kind of...
Yeah, just, like, visualize
it. Imagine it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just heard that, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, they'll, like, watch... They say that, like, they watch behind the trees and everything. Mm-hmm. So that literally shivers down my spine.
Oof, yeah.
Down my spine. Get me out
Ew,
of here.
Ew.
I know.
Over.
I don't know why. Now I'm, like, literally, like, there's one behind me. There's a shadow person. But, yeah, that's Zombie Road. A lot of tragedy.
Yeah. That's a lot. A
lot of ghosts. I know, I was literally like the magnitude of how much awfulness took place in this one mm-hmm. spot. I wouldn't want to go there.
Oh, no, me neither.
The trail looks really pretty in daytime. I'd go in daytime.
Yeah, but even like walking through that pretty scenery and then being like, oh, this is so pretty, but like all these people died.
Yeah.
Or
in this area. Yeah.
And it's been tragic. Like, I wouldn't be able to enjoy myself in the scenery.
That's true. Okay. Okay, fine.
I don't know. If anyone's been there, like, tell me about it. Tell us
about
it.
I think I could go. I wouldn't want to go by myself.
Maybe
I have
like
to go with
another person or
yeah.
a group.
Or a group.
That's more like power.
Yeah.
That's more.
Punch out the shadow people. Get away from me. I'll deck a shadow person to the ground.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, Zombie Road. Lots of zombies.
Lots
of roads.
And a tragedy.
Yes.
Should be a book.
It probably is.
It could be, yeah. Excuse me. So anyways, next urban legend here.
Next.
Here we go. So Before I start this, I want to ask see if you remember something.
Oh, God.
Okay. When you hear the word Momo, is there a certain thing that comes to your mind?
No.
Okay, so
I do have something, but it's not what you're talking about, because it's not an urban legend.
Even it might not be an urban legend. The picture?
No,
I don't know. The lady... So go on your phone right now and look up Momo, because I want to make sure...
They're going to hear my phone charm, like...
And everyone else, go, like, look this up.
Is it... Should I have it in my search history? Is it bad?
No, I mean, it's scary. Oops, when you see it, it's going to, like, shock you. It's nothing, like,
just put in the word Momo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Momo. Because, like, it doesn't have to do with this urban legend, but when I started writing all this down, I was like, wow, the name of my urban legend is Momo, which stands for Missouri Monster.
Oh, she's cute.
But let me make sure.
Is that that lady?
Yeah. Like, haven't you seen that around and, like...
No, I don't think so.
Really? Okay, so that used to be a big thing, the Momo.
Wow.
How would you describe that? Let me see your picture again.
Beautiful.
Black-haired, wide-eyed,
Not even wide-eyed. Like, literally, like, no eyelids.
Yeah, no eyelids. So, basically...
Joker-like smile with, like, no teeth.
Yes. So... Yeah. That apparently, I didn't do any research for this one, but this is just a little bonus from what I remember.
Love a bonus.
The Momo was something, I think she was on like a TV, like a Japanese like show or some type of show. Maybe it wasn't Japanese. It was just another, it was just a show. And apparently the Momo would tell kids like kill themselves. Oh, so then that would like
not cool
happen.
Momo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that like, I wouldn't even call that a meme.
Yeah.
That like fluke thing. Mm. Scary pictures all over.
Yes. I definitely was not thinking that. I was thinking of an anime character.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I was like, that's not what she's saying, Sophie.
Yeah, you were like, no. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious to see it. Because when I was writing that down, I was like, was that her name? I can't remember. But
Where was I? I probably was... Yeah. You know, I was like, asleep.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it wasn't like all over the internet, but like randomly it would just pop up.
Oh,
I didn't want to see this, but it's there.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take it back now.
Exactly. Yeah. Take it back now, y'all.
I know.
One
I remember
this
I said
time.
That. I was like...
All right. So, as I said, my urban legend is called Momo, M-O-M-O, and it's short for Missouri Monster.
Okay. So, a cryptid?
Yes, it is. So, it's kind of like Bigfoot.
Yes. Really?
So, you're going to get a lot of Bigfoot vibes.
I love a cryptid. Love a Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We haven't done Bigfoot yet.
We haven't.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he has a legend himself.
He's a legend.
He's the show.
Oh, yeah. He is. He is the urban legend.
He is. Yeah, so the Missouri Monster was first heard of in July 1972,
ooh,
although some sources and other people may claim 1971. So, I mean, that's not even that big of a gap. So,
whatever.
1971, 1972. This all started when a police department in the small town... The town is called Louisiana, so don't get confused.
It's really?
Louisiana, Missouri. It gets weird later.
That's funny. Okay.
Yeah, so remember that.
That's cute.
The police department in a small town of Louisiana started to receive tons of calls from residents in the area.
Okay.
Residents reported that they saw a creature with black fur,
mm-hmm,
and it was very tall. I think I saw somewhere it was about 6 foot or 7 foot.
Okay.
His fur slash hair was covered the creature from head to toe, entire body covered, face covered. You can't recognize anything. You can't really make anything out because it's just all fur slash hair. So two children, one of the reports from the calls that were called in to the police department. One of them was about two children. They told their parents that they saw a creature in their backyard. The creature was bloody, just like bloody and disgusting.
Ew.
And it held a dead dog in its hands. So.
Hi, kids. What a treat.
Yeah, what a treat.
No.
And then I thought this was weird because it said afterwards, the family dog had become violently ill for part of the day. So the dog that was dead in its hands
wasn't
the family dog.
But
like, that makes sense. The family dog probably saw them.
The dog was like, oh, God.
That's one of my own. And they're just like.
That's kind of funny.
I know.
The dog was like, I can't be here right now. I gotta go throw up.
I gotta go. So then, that got you.
I'm sorry.
Do you see a dog going, rah,
rah. Yeah, it's like, rah, 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 I gotta go.
Do that one more time. I gotta go.
I gotta go.
I love it.
Oh my god.
That was Scooby-Doo. The new voice.
That is so... It. I'm sorry. That poor dog died. Those poor kids were being traumatized. But then you have the dog seeing that and just, like...
Could you imagine... Back out. Like, could you imagine the police officer, like, getting the phone call and be like... And the, like, parent being like, and our dick is... Or... I was saying, and our dog.
I just clapped. I clapped right in the microphone. I'm so sorry, everyone.
That's okay. And our... And our dog is ill, too. And the police officer's, like, trying to hold back, like, oh...
The dog, he's like... I feel like this is a call for the vet. I don't
know. Yeah, this is my area of expertise. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, God.
But, yeah. So, footprints were also discovered where Momo was said to have been.
Okay. So, he was there.
Yes. A lot of residents from Louisiana, once again, the small town is called Louisiana, had claimed to see the Momo. Like, a lot of them have seen.
Okay.
They all described the creature as also to have a smell. Oh. That's very disgusting. And whenever, very disgusting.
I believe it, yeah.
Terrible, like, gagging. Oh, right?
I hate that.
Not a good smell. You wouldn't want that smell in a perfume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, to say the least, you don't want it.
You don't. And a lot of other residents have said that he will let out a growl that's very inhumane.
He's pretty wild. This sounds he like is. He's killing dogs.
He's
don't trust
wild
him.
And... Yeah, so no one can ever see the creature's face because it has that long and shaggy hair all over and fur. Uh-huh. So that's a lot of the, what do you call that? Oh my god, I can't think. A lot of people, sightings. The sightings.
Okay,
yeah,
they're looking at me and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so a lot of the sightings were about the same. They all described the same features, the smell, the long hair.
Lots of consistencies.
Yes.
That. Okay.
Exactly. Some residents claimed that they have come face-to-face with the Momo as well. Like, cars have been overturned by the creature, allegedly.
Yeah.
Two women, there's a story about this, two women hid in their car, and they watched the monster eat a peanut butter sandwich that was theirs.
Okay, Kate.
I don't know how this happened, but it was in there. It's an urban legend, so
I
draw your own conclusions.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done with dogs. Been there, done that. Give me the PB&J sandwich.
Exactly. And, no, peanut butter.
Oh, peanut butter.
He don't want no jelly.
Yeah, okay.
No jelly up in here.
No jelly. Okay.
And then he ran into the woods with it.
Okay.
So, could you imagine that you're just hiding in your car?
No. Quick snack.
Quick snack. And then I have another, you know what, actually, I'll touch on that sighting afterwards because it'll make more sense.
Okay.
So then news media, after about, you know, they didn't give a time frame. Okay. I want to say... All these sightings probably took, like, what, like...
A couple years,
maybe even months. It depends
how
that works,
true,
right? Maybe almost a year or two.
Okay.
Who knows? Fair. But basically, after all those sightings started to happen, it became more common, was a big and popular thing over there. The news media heard about it and decided to report on it. So news media all over the country was talking about it. Yeah.
Okay.
They picked up the story... And,
shout out to the dogs in the background.
Shout out
if you guys
to
can hear them.
Number one fans. Oh no, don't listen to the story, dog.
Ill. Sir, you might want to quiet down. I can't hold back the Momo.
I can't, yeah. So, when the news media talked about this, monster hunters and other people that were just curious about, the Momo and the creature itself came to the Louisiana, Missouri. That's so weird to say.
Louisiana, Missouri.
Yeah, so monster hunters from all over the country came, and they also tried to trap him as well. And a 20-person posse was formed as well to try to kill the monster.
Kill him?
Yeah, to kill him. That was a result of all the news media and all the coverage on it.
Whatever.
Yeah, so the news quickly spread from all the coverage that was going on.
Okay.
And then in the... Midwestern towns, mostly by the Mississippi River, and west out that way, there was other reports of sightings and run-ins with the Momo.
Oh, he's walking along the Mississippi.
Yes, he's having a ball over there.
He is.
And here's this one sighting that, here it is. So this guy named Richard Allen Murray, he's a local from Louisiana, or the Mississippi area. I want to say the Mississippi area because after they talked about the sightings in the Midwestern towns, like by mostly the Mississippi River, it would make sense for this sighting to go next to. But if I'm wrong, it could go either way.
Okay.
So, so he's a local from those areas. He is also a fire chief and a part of the city council.
Okay.
So he kind of has some, you know, status there.
Yeah, he seems like a trustworthy fella.
Exactly. So he was driving along a small creek that runs through the middle of the town. He then saw something move into the woods, and his headlights had illuminated it, so okay. he could kind of see it more. So his headlights fell on the creature, and the creature ran away. And the creature also disappeared. So it was, like, nowhere to be seen.
Okay.
And Richard Allen Murray is also says, quote, "I was amazed to see something. I thought it was a bunch of nonsense, but then I saw something." End quote.
Very sweet. I didn't know I was going to see something, but then I saw something. So I guess I saw something. Okay, Richard.
How great. So, one of the last times the creature was spotted in Louisiana, the Momo left behind a lone footprint.
Oh. He's like, here you go, my last thing, my last calling card.
Here it is. So, an expert, which is named Lawrence, I believe it says Curtis, he, or she, was the director the director of Oklahoma City Zoo.
Okay.
And the expert claimed that the existence of the Momo was more than a hoax. Oh. Just by looking at the footprint, that it was definitely not some, like, your average footprint. Like, there's nothing you can identify it with. Huh. I don't know exactly, like, what the footprint was, big it was, distinctive features of it. No, I have no idea, but the expert, that's what she said.
Yeah, okay.
So that's pretty interesting.
Momo's out there.
Yeah, so then all this that happened was, like, through the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was, like, months, or an arrange of months.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So then when the winter...
hibernates, you know.
Exactly, sorry. Yeah. No, you're good. So when the winter came around, the Momo completely disappeared.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, really, like, disappeared.
Just taking a fat nap.
And people still talk about the Momo today, and there has been, like, random, like, sporadically reported sightings throughout the years, but nothing where it was, like, concrete. Before, like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that Richard guy for a second. What was that? He's like, I saw something with my headlights. It was something. And I wasn't expecting to see something, but it was something.
Take a shot how many times he says something.
I know, like, honestly, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Like, what? But yeah, the Momo's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You could probably find, there probably is a lot more sightings out there, but that was just kind of like the basic stuff.
Yeah.
That came, you know, to the surface.
Kind of like his vibe. He did kill a dog, but he
also... Or was he trying to help it?
Yeah, and he was like, guys,
bring
I don't
it to
know
the kids.
It's
like,
true.
Please, you have a dog, you might know how to fix this.
It's true. Wow. Oh my god, that's so sad.
It is.
And I just took a peanut butter sandwich and was like, okay, I'm out.
Did we just become controversial? Did we just start something?
Did we just...
A theory?
Did we just...
Jot that down. Jot that down.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah.
Momo, best person in the world.
Oh, wait. Actually, I have
another story.
Oh, no, I don't. You're good.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought I forgot something about it.
Wow. Way to take my spotlight.
Wow.
No. So, this next one is funny to me. Very good. Very funny. I don't even know how I feel about it.
Let's hear it.
It's the Hollis Light. So, okay. The Hollis Light is a ghost light located in a small area locally known as Devil's Promenade, I think.
Promenade? Ooh, that kind of sounds like the name of a chip or cheese. Promenade.
So it's an area between southwestern Missouri and northeastern Oklahoma, nearest to the small town of Hornet, Missouri.
Okay.
It's most often seen from inside the Oklahoma border looking west. So it's like in... Wait, which way is west?
Never eat soggy waffles. West is this way. So
is
either
in
west.
Missouri at all? What's going on?
Never eat soggy waffles.
Which way is Missouri in terms of Oklahoma? I've got to look up a map, guys. I've got to fact check myself. What's going on? Missouri?
Missouri.
What the... Okay.
Enjoy this music. Ba-da-ba-ba.
No, okay, but like literally Missouri is to the east of Oklahoma, so I don't know what's going on. It says it's in Missouri. I don't know. Life's a lie. Don't look at maps.
Don't look at them.
Don't be
a cartographer.
Do look at maps. Anyway, it is described as a single ball of light or a tight grouping of lights, which appears usually at night, which makes sense.
Yeah, because...
It has been said to be green, orange, red, yellow, or even blue.
Okay, so like colorful.
Color rainbow changes, yes. Okay. It actually has like a pretty decent history, which I thought was weird. So, according to most accounts, it appeared continually since the 19th century. It was not super well known to anybody but locals until after World War II. Kind of weird, but...
Yeah.
So, some of the encounters have dated back to the Trail of Tears in the 1830s.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
The first documented sighting occurred in 1881, so a long time ago.
Yeah.
Although there has been like less official reported sightings, like I think that was probably in a newspaper, but like diaries and stuff in 1866. The earliest published report dates to 1936 in the Kansas City Star. So she's got a
hefty history.
Hefty history. This is crazy to me. So in 1946, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers studied the Hornet Light, which is the Hollis Light, has a bunch of different names, but could not find a cause for it. In their words, it was, quote, a mysterious light of unknown origin, unquote. The Army was like, pretty spooky stuff. Gotta go.
Bye.
Like, that's all it said. It was like, okay.
Yeah. So, support our troops.
Bye. Yeah, support the troops. I don't know. Do I want to? You don't even know what this light is. So, early residents, kind of would see the light in the woods, over the woods, and even, like, in their yards. Kind of floats around.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So, it kind of got more popular around in the, like, 1960s because there was, like, a general store in Hornet which gave out...
That's a big gap. The 1880s to...
It's a long
1960,
time.
Right?
Yeah. That's, like... This was because, like, there was a store that was, like, starting to give out information to people in the area. They're, like... To outsiders, like, not just locals. Yeah. They were like, hey, check out the light.
Check out the light.
There's even...
It's pretty lit, yo.
I know.
In modern
pretty
day.
Pretty lit. there's, like, a museum for it, actually. There's just, like... It's just pretty well known in that area, at least.
Wow.
This is where it kind of... Okay. I don't know. It's so weird because it's there for so long. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to get to this one part first.
Okay.
So, I had to take this down word for word because it's such weird instructions. So, this is from, literally a Wikipedia article about it, because I literally, it's so weird because it's like aficionados is who they got this from, this exact how to see the light. So, they say your best chances, for spotting the light occur, after dark when parked on the Oklahoma East 50 Road. 4 miles south of the tri-state junction of Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma in Ottawa County, Oklahoma, and looking to the west. One must sit very silently. The light has been seen in backyards of the area and has been spotted near and far away from sightseers. Color is inconsistent. It's almost always said to be in the shape of a ball, although some say it more closely resembles a camping lantern traveling a couple feet off the ground.
Whoa.
End quote. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
It's like, here's these exact circumstances. You can see it from here, looking here. And it's like, how long do you think these people, like, were dedicated their lives to this
100%?
Light in the sky?
Oh, 100%. Like, taking note about this?
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine that everyone, like, you got a group of people, and you're like, oh, you stand here, you stand here, you stand there.
Who gets to the light?
Who gets to the light? Whistle when you can see it, or something like that. That'd be cool to see.
Yeah,
that
it would be.
Really cool.
This next part is weird to me, because it's like, they're trying to find explanations for it, and like, the Army was like, oh, pretty weird. and it's
exactly
always said.
Like that.
But they were saying, like, it says the area from... Like, if you're saying Oklahoma, the area in Oklahoma from which you, like, look out there, it's kind of near, it's hilly, and it's by Interstate 44. So people are like, oh, it's headlights bobbing up and down.
Oh, you could, think that. But what about in the 1880s?
That's what I'm saying. And, like, the Army looked over there and was like, yeah, pretty weird stuff. We don't
know.
Like, why would the Army be like, they would just be like, yeah, it's headlights, guys.
Oh, and wouldn't they have searched for that, like, excuse anyways?
To disprove it?
It was a governmental thing or, you know, something with aliens or something crazy where they want to cover it up.
Like, there's another explanation because, like, that was, like, when was that? That was, like, the earliest idea, was that it was headlights. And then in 2014, this other professor was like, yeah, it's definitely headlights. But between then and the 1960s, some people tried to explain it through, like, atmospheric gases being affected by electrical fields. Someone even said that it was, like, a fixed object in the sky or something that was just reflecting weird.
But how, what?
But that seems weird to
me. That's like, even weirder to me. That's something that I'd want to investigate more.
Yeah, and it seems like if the Army would call in, like, an astronomer or something that's qualified and be like, hey, check this out. They wouldn't just be like, oh, no clue. See ya. Like,
yeah, let me drop. Oh, there goes my phone. It just fell.
But, I don't think, look at the spike in the sound.
That was fun.
I don't think it's headlights. Yeah. It's like, literally during the Trail of Tears, There was no headlights back then. Yeah, it was just slaughter. There was no headlights.
It was just... Oh, my God.
I mean, if we're being honest, it was just literally...
Slaughter.
Terrible things that happened. There was no headlights.
Tragedy. Zombie Road, is that you?
Zombie Road? I know, both of mine kind of... Yeah, so... That's all I have on that one. So, I guess maybe a headlight, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Not an alien, because... No. And maybe a spirit, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's my really smart take on it.
Your smart take.
Anyway, hit me with your next one.
So, here's my next one. I was just looking at it for a second to figure out how I want to start this. Because this...
Is she a doozy?
No, kind of.
Okay.
It's very mind-blowing. This is the one that I said I didn't know about.
You learned.
So,
okay.
The Civil War. No.
It's the Civil War. I had no clue that happened.
The Trail of Tears. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to start this.
Okay. Am I going to feel really stupid as I'm listening to this?
No, just say yes, you're just gonna have to listen to it.
Okay.
I did some, like, extra research at the bottom that, like, doesn't really pertain to my story, but I was interested in it, and listeners could be questioning, like, oh, I wonder when that came about.
Yeah, man, do it.
Yeah, so, we're gonna start, this one doesn't have a name.
Oh.
It does have, okay, so, when I was looking for urban legends, it kind of had, a little synopsis name. So it said exactly what the legend was in the name, but it doesn't have, like, a name. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
More, but it was weird. So.
What's the synopsis name? Or does it spoil?
It spoils.
Okay,
it,
then 100%. I won't. Then don't tell me.
So we're just going to start this.
Okay. And I'm going to listen. Let me get my focused thinking cap on.
Okay.
Go.
Here we go. So in St. Louis, Missouri, in 1916, a group of women tried contacting dead relatives using an Ouija board. Okay. As the normals.
You know,
people still do it to this day, right?
Go off, queens, yeah.
It's a normal thing. Fun fact, you can buy them from Barnes & Noble.
There you go. I mean, I've never been freaked out by Ouija boards.
Well, you know what's kind of freaky, though, about them?
Yeah.
Like, is one time a past friend of mine and I were looking for a Ouija board. She wanted one. So okay. I was like, oh, yeah, why not? Let's go buy one, right?
Yeah.
You might think that they're easy to go get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, some stores don't carry them. So instead of driving... you know, a long distance, and then being disappointed at the store that they didn't have the Ouija board, we came up with a bright idea to call the store ahead of time and see if they had it in stock in the store. So we actually called Meijer, which I'm pretty sure that's just a Michigan thing, right?
It might be like a Midwest thing.
Midwest thing, yeah. So you got, you know, Meijer for all you people that know what that
is out
there.
You know.
Exactly. So, the customer service person answered, and we said, yeah, we want, do you have a Ouija board? And they said, actually, we're not allowed to sell those for, like,
legal purposes?
I don't know exactly what they said legal purposes, but they're just not allowed to.
Oh.
And I know it's not religious, because I don't think Meijer is a religious corporation, or whatever you want to call them. So that was interesting, and I believe we called Target, and they said the same thing.
Oh.
So that was interesting. It was kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to get sued if someone's like, I got a Ouija board and a ghost broke all the stuff in my house.
Yes, that would make sense. But it's interesting to think like, wow, those stores are actually putting up a parameter. Like, no, we're not doing this.
Oh, so, that's weird. Wonder if Amazon sells them.
Probably.
I'd sue Jeff Bezos. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd sue him.
Yeah, ooh. Quote
Jeff,
that.
I'm taking you to court. Let's go.
Let's do it. So... the group of women ended up contacting Mark Twain.
Oh,
And for those of you who may not know who Mark Twain is, he's a dead... Well, he's currently deceased.
Yeah.
He's an American author. Do you know any of his works of...
Mark Twain. I know the name. You want me to look it up? Let's give him a shout-out.
Yeah, let's give him a shout-out. I'll look any up. Now that I'm thinking about that, I probably should have.
I probably should know something.
I know there's some Twain obvious stuff that we're like, books. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, of course. Let's see. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Yep.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Lots of the adventures.
Okay.
Those are the two that I recognize by name. I've never read them. Is that bad?
No, that's okay.
Oh my god, he has one called A Tramp Abroad.
Oh.
Me too.
Interesting.
Me too. Anyway.
So the supposed Mark Twain, the spirit. I'm going to say the spirit. But when I say the spirit is supposed to be Mark Twain.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So the spirit said he had another story to tell.
Oh.
So Emily Grant Hutchings.
Okay.
She is a freelance writer. And she was also in attendance of that seance that was going on with the Ouija board. She took a piece of paper and wrote down the words or the story. Okay. It wasn't a full story, but
bits and pieces.
She wrote down whatever the spirit said on the piece of paper. And then she took that piece of paper to a medium. And the medium was able to transcribe what Twain said and basically transcribe Twain's next novel.
A Tramp Abroad.
The letter from the Ouija board.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I actually was like, okay, I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
But, the novel was then published.
Really?
Yes, and it is known as, Japheron, J-A-P, okay. And then H-E-R-R-O-N.
Okay, yeah, Japheron.
Heron. And many people thought it was terrible. It was, like,
awful.
Terrible. Awful.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to look up the cover of it again. I did before, but I want to make sure.
Look at that bird right there.
Where?
You see that bird right there? Right on the branch.
There's several branches.
Right here, the one
right there. Oh, I see it now. Right. I see it. It was blend.
Sorry, guys. If you were here, you guys would be like, that's a really cute bird.
You'd be like, good eye,
Sophie. And I'd be like, yeah, thanks.
So the cover of it, if this is the correct cover, it says the name, the title, so Japheron, a novel written from the Ouija board, and then a good space, good big space, and then it says, with an introduction, the coming of Japheron, Japheron, and then under that, it shows Mark Twain's signature.
Okay.
With, and then under that is like a symbol, it says MK. That must be some type of copyright symbol, I want to say, like some type of legal symbol. And then under that, a little bit under, like, towards the bottom, where it usually says the author's name as well, it says New York, Mitchell Kennerly, and then under that, it says MCM, and I'm pretty sure this is Roman numerals, but I don't know Roman numerals, so XVII?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know so Roman do that what you either. Will, but when you look at that book, it kind of looks like he wrote it, because it has his
signature.
That
surprises me that someone published that.
Well, here we go.
Do we believe it? This one I'm a little skeptic about, because this author happened to be there. Okay, go ahead, though.
So, Twain's daughter and publisher, Sue Hutchings, Twain's daughter and publisher, they sued Hutchings on copyright claims, which as they should.
Yeah,
come on.
Hey, you're using your dead dad.
Exactly. This forced her publisher to end publication and sending Hutchings into obscurity.
Oh.
So basically, to this day, no one knows whether this was a real seance, like a real book, or like actual words and story or whatever you want to call it that was going to be out. That's out in the world by Mark Twain, or if it's just a scam.
So is there like copies out there?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, because this was a whole lawsuit back then.
Yeah.
If you're interested in legal things like I am, you can totally look that up. And I believe I came across an article that had like more details about that. So if you're very interested, go for it. Because this was in 1916, so that's interesting to read about, you know?
I know. Could you imagine, Mark Twain actually wrote that, and he was like, guys, no, guys, this is mine. I did this.
Mark's taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Literally.
Wait, listen to me.
Please. Like,
Mark.
Exactly.
You had your time.
So, then I was starting to wonder, like, oh, why in Missouri? Why is that where Mark Twain was born? Is that where he's from? Yes, that is where Mark Twain is born.
Oh.
So, that would make sense. I don't know if, because it didn't say where these group of women did the seance. If it was at his house or somewhere important to him or close by where he was born. But But I looked up, and Mark Twain was born in Florida, Missouri.
What the heck? Yeah. Why are they naming so many towns in Missouri after other states?
I know, and I had to look it up again to make sure it was a real thing, and I wasn't going to sound stupid, but there we are.
And then, back, Missouri. Come up with some cooler names.
Exactly. And then another thing came in my head while I was doing my research.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I was reading that again. I was like, wow, 1916. Wow, like, Ouija board back then. They must have been around for a long time, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then part of me was like, well, who created the Ouija board? And yeah, yeah, yeah. When did it come about? When was it on the market or whatever? So I looked that up, and I searched, when did Ouija boards come out? And created by...
Ooh,
and
shout out to
Ouija boards were introduced in the U.S. in 1890.
Oh, okay.
They were created by it was created by E.C. Reich, R-E-I-C-G.
Yeah.
Reich.
Maybe.
And then I don't know because it didn't really. It was kind of vague, but it says E.C. Reich, and then it says Elijah Bond, and Charles Kennard. And it says they created a new design. So I don't know if they were the original.
Yeah, they made it.
And then the new. So, you know, since it was in, what was that?
1890. Yeah.
Who knows who could have created
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Anyone could have been like, yeah, I painted the plank of wood.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So in 1890, it was sold in novelty shops as a parlor game. And do you know exactly what a parlor game is?
It's just like a little like
is board,
a board
game
or something.
Right.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Why did
so
I say it like
sure.
that? I said bard game.
Bard game.
Bard game.
Bard game. So board I looked game. Up the original Ouija board to the one now. And what I read before, what I just read a little bit ago, I said who created it, and I said they created a new design. Well, that new design is what we see today.
Oh,
the big board with the spaced out letters, and I believe numbers 1 through 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then yes, no, and goodbye, and all that. Well, the old one was kind of like, all right, so I'm going to describe the size to you. I don't know if you've ever had this.
Yeah.
It's a mint, the Eltoids mints
that
are in that, like, that box, that
yeah,
tin box.
Yeah, tin.
I want to say it was about that small.
That's how big the Ouija board was?
Yeah, and it was all squished together. I don't know how they used it or how it was used back then, but... That's how it looked.
Pocket Ouija board.
Yeah, that's how it looked. And then E.C. Reich, Elijah Bond, and Charles Kennard created a new design. And that's how we have the design
now.
Yeah.
Geniuses, those three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a little tiny, tiny piece of wood.
Yeah.
With
like,
maybe some letters on it.
Literally. And I was just fascinated about that for a second. I was like, wait, who created this? How did it? And then I read something too, but I'm not sure how true it is. It originally wasn't created for, like, occult type of stuff it is now.
Is it just made for people to help people communicate?
I'm guessing so. It wasn't really clear. It was just kind of out there. It said, what the sentence said, it said that it wasn't until after World War II that the Ouija board was used for occult purposes.
Huh.
And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
Maybe because after World War II, maybe your husband or...
Whoever
in the war passes away, maybe like grief.
They
like, oh man,
to...
I wish I could communicate to them. Or maybe that's how that came about, or it could be something totally opposite. But that's just a little
weird.
Hypothesis that I have.
Little history on the Ouija board.
Exactly. So I thought that was really interesting with that. And do we think that was Mark Twain? Like I don't know.
Only
kind of
Mark
like
knows. I don't
right
know.
Right place, right time type of thing.
Mark,
I don't know.
Hit us up. I don't know. That just seems convenient. I'd like to think it's true because that'd be kind of funny if everyone just hated his book and he was like, never mind, guys.
But. Yeah, this kind of Well, I mean, I also understand the copyright claim, too.
Oh,
because
yeah.
if someone were to read that and they're like, wow, Mark Twain really sucks now.
Yeah.
And then that wasn't his actual words. Like
that would be...
Like
they're also just getting a lot of money off of it. Like,
oh,
just by the name.
100%.
Yeah.
I kind of want to buy it and read it, though. I'm not going to lie.
Me too. I kind of
want
to see.
Mm-hmm.
Have you used a Ouija board?
I have not myself, but I have been around others who... I've been in the room with someone who has been using one.
Okay, I have.
I think I would like to use one, but I feel like I have bad luck, and I feel like something
would like, follow you home or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already got my thoughts, so I don't need anything else follow me
no
around.
No more.
I don't know.
I know, I've done it a couple times, but I don't know. People are like... There's some people who are like, you need to shut it down a certain way, but it's like... I was, like, in middle school, even, like, elementary school for one of them. It was, like, there was nothing following us. We weren't doing anything. There was no...
Did anything ever happen?
No.
No. Yeah. I don't think so. Well, because then you always do it people, with people like, and they move it, right?
Well, the one time it was like me and one other girl who did it. Uh-huh. Nothing happened. And then it was like a big slumber party before. And of course party. It was moving then, you know? Yeah, people were like, exactly. Oh my God. And it's like, so who's moving it? Who's moving
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You know, do you remember the pencil and the Charlie something? And yeah. then the yes and the no. No, no. What was that mm-hmm. called?
I can't remember, but I remember, I know the pencil
Someone's
thing.
Screaming at us right now. I can feel I it.
Someone's like, you morons.
It's like...
I swear it was Charlie something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like Charlie.
The Charlie game or something? Charlie game. Charlie.
Is it Charlie Charlie?
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll say it's that then.
We will. Yeah, but I don't know. Ouija boards are, like, kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
They really are.
They really are. I mean...
Have you seen the movies?
No. I don't watch really scary good. Movies.
Okay.
I'm
they're,
scared.
They're kind of cheesy, but
yeah.
I'll watch them with you. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. I literally... It's like I'll learn about... No, I don't know. I can't watch scary movies.
Okay, that makes sense.
I can't. It's oh, just, yeah.
There's something else I wanted to add about my first legend I forgot to say.
Momo.
Yes, the Momo. Mm-hmm. There is a movie out there about the Momo.
Is there?
Yeah, I believe is it IMBD?
Yeah, IMBD.
IMBD rated it, I think, 3.7 stars
oh, nice.
Out of 10.
Yeah.
If I'm correct. So check that out if you want to. Not sure if it'll be good. But
not
do
a zero.
It for our Momo. Okay.
Yeah.
He was just trying to help the
he's
dog.
Trying to help the dog. Just trying to get a sandwich.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, and also.
He's hungry.
He's hungry.
People hate him.
He just wants
really
friends.
Yeah.
He's just trying to help out. And then people try to kill him.
Can you believe that? The audacity.
I'm on Momo's side.
He creates
Team...
signs and stuff. Momo,
Team Momo.
Momo. Yeah. But yeah, so
yeah.
those are our urban legends. Anything else you want to add, Sophie?
I literally have nothing to say ever.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
all right, though. We're trying.
We're trying our best.
That's very true. Yeah, as always, reach out to us if you've experienced these urban legends or if
you just want to yell at us. Or...
Yeah, or if it is St. Louis and
yeah.
we're just...
Call us mean names.
Exactly. Do
That'd
whatever you want to do or anything at all you want to talk about.
I know, yeah.
But yeah.
Usually we say what state we're going to do, but I don't know. My
yeah.
head is so empty.
Me too.
This ending is probably really just choppy because, like,
it
my
is.
Mind is just going blank and slowly tuning out
well,
of just life.
If you look at our thing, we've been talking for about 52 minutes.
Oh, God.
So that's a long time.
We got to end it.
We do. Like, that's why we're all...
Yeah.
Gone.
Do we have an outro? It's been a while.
Well, yeah, thank you guys for...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Thank you guys for listening, and definitely
oh,
check out our socials
yeah,
on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And as always, we'll post pictures that go along with the urban legends.
For sure.
Yeah. Catch you on the flip side.